on this Tuesday night. 40%, this is a fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. 40% of U.S. renters face homelessness as landlords and tenants are encouraged to go to war over the issue. You got 30 to 40 million Americans who are literally facing the streets. Somebody's got to step up. This cannot be allowed to happen, or we literally will lose what's left of our functional republic. That's too many people. It's not going to work. A lot going on here in terms of updates on the coronavirus. Masks at home. Some people really are taking offense at that suggestion. Goggles and masks. Oh my, even more are becoming upset. At home, people are actually suggesting this. It does seem to be a bit far, a bit much, but it's part of the texture, and we're trying to report it to you as honestly and forthrightly as we possibly can. Interesting story. A hidden FDA document explains why, and this is a website, liar Fauci opposes hydroxychloroquine. Top doctors are behind this story. The hydroxychloroquine story is not going to go away, so get used to it. It's just going to be around. U.S. drug firm starts phase 3 trial of coronavirus antibody drug in nursing homes. We're going to find out from Henry what an antibody drug exactly is. Synthetic antibodies? I don't know. This is an interesting adjunct. It's not coronavirus. We've spent now $1 trillion on statins to lower cholesterol, yet cardiovascular deaths have gone up. The whole thing has achieved virtually nothing. This is according to an RT story. All interesting stories, lots of them out there. Henry, what about this antibody approach to creating something? Is it synthetic antibodies? What is it?
I hadn't seen that story. There's only two possibilities, but the
well, let me read a little bit of it to you. Yeah, it's a Sputnik story. U.S. drug firm starts phase 3 trial of COVID-19 antibody drug in nursing homes. American pharmaceutical firm Eli Lilly and Company announced Monday that it has started a third phase trial of its COVID-19 antiviral drug known as LY-COV-555. The study is being conducted in partnership with the U.S. National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, that's Fauci's group, and will involve around 2,400 participants. The study participants will include vulnerable residents and staff members at nursing homes and other long-term care facilities that have recently been diagnosed with having cases of coronavirus. The participants will receive single-dose treatment of LY-COV-555, which is a monoclonal antibody treatment directed against the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that caused... So there you go, Henry. It's a monoclonal antibody treatment designed to wreck the spike protein.
Yeah. I used to make them all the time.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they were first reported in 1975 by Kohler and Milstein.
Wow, and that's damn near 45 years ago.
Right, and I started making them in 1979, and I actually had more monoclonals than anybody in the world at the National Cancer Institute. I was very good at making monoclonals. But anyway, what Lilly has is they've got a neutralizing antibody. So this is a monoclonal. Once you make a monoclonal antibody, you can you know, make as much of it as you want. That is actually you have a cell line that's producing the antibody, and as long as you keep on expanding the cell, you'll get more monoclonal antibody, and so you can literally make as much as you want. And that antibody, in this case, would be targeted against the spike protein, and it's an antibody that's been shown to actually neutralize the virus. So if you mix the antibody with the virus and see how well it infects cells, the antibody gets in the way and prevents the virus from getting into the cell. And that's why it's called neutralizing. And neutralizes the virus, and therefore the virus can't grow. And it's a treatment. And so they're apparently using nursing homes as a target to actually treat patients.
So it's old tech updated a little bit, and it's intended to intervene and neutralize. That sounds like a pragmatic thing to work with.
Yeah, well, the technology is, you know, been around since,
yeah, old tech,
like
right.
I said. Commercial applications of it is more recent than that. It's a type of technology that can be applied to almost anything. So in this case, it was applied to a new virus with a new spike protein, a new sequence, and they made a new antibody. So the technology was used to make this antibody, and they're now trying it out in nursing homes. So several companies were developing monoclonals, and there was a recent story of I think it's David Ho, who is involved with HIV research. And anyway, he's making a panel of monoclonal antibodies to be used against the SARS-CoV-2. And that was just reported a week or two ago. So that's essentially what it is. It's a...
Can it work, Henry? Can it work?
Oh yeah, yeah. And monoclonal antibodies work. I mean, they're used in a lot of very popular drugs. You can tell because they actually the name of the drug scientific name ends in MAB for monoclonal antibody, and something like Humira, which is probably. I think Humira might be the top-selling drug in the world, but it is a big seller. I'm not sure if it's number one or not, but Humira is a monoclonal antibody, and it's used to treat arthritis primarily, and it's one that you take by injection and. You take it, most people take it like once a week. So you inject it once a week. It's very expensive. The retail price on it is something like, $1,400 or so. So it's $1,400 a week. And, I mean, most people don't pay anything like that if they've got insurance. But right. That's an example, and that's part of the reason it's a... You know, a multi-billion dollar product, but that works, to block an immune response that causes the autoimmunity. So as long as you have the antibody in there, it prevents that type of, activity and, pretty much keeps, something like arthritis in check. And there are a lot of different monoclonal antibodies that have been commercialized and they do work. And, in fact, Humira is a drug that, guess what it replaced? It replaced hydroxy.
All too funny.
hydroxy used to be used for arthritis, and that didn't really work that well. And Humira worked much better. And actually, because Humira was expensive back in the day, which would have been not that long ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, many insurance companies wouldn't cover Humira until one of the older drugs had been tried and failed. So, so basically, if you took hydroxy and you still had aches and pains from your arthritis, then you could discard that and move on to Humira, and the insurance would cover it. But they wouldn't cover the Humira until you tried the older drugs, and they didn't provide any relief. Because the older drugs were a lot cheaper. But in any event, that's what's going on with that particular development. On the pandemic front, there were a couple major developments with the Donald, and they were I don't know. You could, depends on who's watching them. They would either be painful or entertaining. I don't know. Depends on your point of view. But he had an extensive interview with Jonathan Swan from Axios, which I think was made for HBO, and I think it was a half hour or an hour interview, and I think the interview was might have been yesterday, but it aired over and over and over today on the news. And then Donald had another press conference today, which covered a lot of the same ground, and that's been played over and over again. And Donald really, like I said yesterday, it was, and then there were none. So he didn't have any scientific advisors in either of these settings. And he was Dr. Trump, and trying to answer questions of a scientific nature. And he literally did look like a deer in the headlights for Jonathan Swan's interview. I mean, he was sitting on the chair, and his eyes were wide, and he was trying to answer, and couldn't.
Was
really
he doing better than? Was he doing better than Joe Biden? I got to think he probably was.
No. No. Hold it. Have you ever heard of Yosemite National Park?
Of course.
Well, apparently Donald hasn't.
Because, I ran that story. I ran the headline. Right. Yeah, I didn't see the interview. I just don't have the time. That's pretty grim. That's bad. Not good.
Yeah, he actually said it twice. He never got it right. He never got it right.
There's no question there are extremely large gaps in his basic knowledge base. No doubt.
He knew it was wrong. And then he read it. I mean, he said, Yosemite, or something like that.
Oh, and he couldn't pronounce it either? Oh, geez.
No.
Well, I'll tell you, if they do have a debate, it's going to be a three-ring circus.
That is how he was pronouncing it. It was Yosemite.
That's what aspartame will do to you. Too many Diet Cokes.
And he knew Yosemite was wrong. So he came back and said, Yosemite, or something like that.
They should have held up a picture of Yosemite Sam for him.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said on Twitter. Oh, I remember Yosemite. I learned how to say it watching Yosemite Sam.
Oh, that's funny. You put that up. Good for you.
But in any event, just to give you a backdrop, I had mentioned yesterday that the weekend numbers are typically low, and that they tend to bounce right back once you get past the weekend, and that we were coming up on a couple milestones. And on the worldometer, we actually hit one today. I said we're going to hit 160,000 deaths, and they're up to 160,290. So they topped 160,000 dead in the U.S. And the other milestone was going to be 5 million, and they're up to 4,918,420. So they're a little over 81,000 shy, and that means that probably we'll not hit 5 million tomorrow, but we will hit 5 million by Thursday. Some of the other are a little bit behind that, and they might lag a day or two, or going into the weekend, it might take them till Monday. But we'll hit the 5 million mark this week or next week, depending on which tally you're using. And so, in light of the large number of cases, and especially the large number of deaths, that was one of the questions that came up. But just to give you an idea on where things are today, since we're back to kind of daily numbers without the weekends, although the hurricane's still having an effect on these numbers. So they're depressed, especially in Florida. That Florida was running at about 10,000 cases a day, and had dropped to about 9,000. Today they only reported 5,446, but they did report 247 deaths. So that's not that far off the high. And in the death category, Texas reported 245 deaths today, which really wasn't that far from their high either. And California was a little bit lower. It might go a tad higher. This is at 7 o'clock local time on the West Coast. They were up to 178 deaths. But the totals for today, even with that somewhat lower number in Florida and potential other southern states, along the East Coast anyway, like Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina, they actually the whole East Coast might have been impacted by the tornado or the hurricane, I should say, although it did spawn a bunch of tornadoes also in Virginia, I think. But a lot of the outside testing, or virtually all the outside testing that I've seen, is actually done in tents that are set up in parking lots. And so with the hurricane coming through, those would all come down. And so that would limit the amount of testing today and probably the last few days or so. But in spite of those limitations, we still got up to 53,000 cases today, and we got up to 1,300 deaths. So we had gotten up last week to 1,400 deaths, so it's getting pretty close to the 1,400 again. Right. And part of the reason those numbers were so high is Deborah Brooks had said.
Debbie Brooks, not Deborah Burke. Right. Brooks. Deborah Brooks doesn't work there anymore. It's Debbie Brooks.
Okay, Debbie Brooks. she had said a couple of days ago that the virus was extraordinarily widespread and had gone into rural areas.
Just tell the truth. Dare she?
And that got a tweet from Trump, who said that she had attacked him essentially.
Yeah, and she's on his fertilizer list now.
Right, true. But just to give you an idea, I thought I'd run through some of these numbers just so you can get an idea how widespread the virus really is as of today. So on the states, you know, I usually send over states that have 1,000 cases reported or more in the day. And if I drop it down a little bit, the following states reported at least 500 cases today. And I'll just run through them. New York, 746. Pennsylvania, 854. California, 5,992. Michigan, 801. Illinois, 1,471. Florida, 5,446. Louisiana, 3,615. Texas, 9,167. Georgia, 2,513. Maryland, 710. Ohio, 1,143. Washington, 542. Indiana, 822. Virginia, 1,145. Tennessee, 1,805. North Carolina, 1,629. Missouri, 1,352. Arizona, 1,008. Alabama, 1,041. Mississippi, 1,074. South Carolina, 1,239. Wisconsin, 728. Nevada, 980. Kentucky, 689. Minnesota, 1,224. Oklahoma, 861.
My, sounds like
Arkansas,
a stock ticker.
784. Okay. Idaho, 559. So that gives you an idea how many states have reported 500 new cases today. And so it's in the Midwest, not just in the South. It's in the Midwest. It's in rural states. And these states have not been reporting 500 to 1,500 cases on a daily basis.
Got it.
For a long time. A lot of these have kind of recently gone into that area. So that's what the new cases look like. And the numbers are similar for deaths. I mean, the deaths are our trailing indicator. Most of the, I won't go the whole, I'll give you the whole list, but there's about 10 states that have at least 25 deaths reported today. And they are mostly in the South because that's who had the big jumps in the cases earlier. And it's lagging. The three that are above 100 were the three I gave, you know, California, Florida, and Texas. They have between 178 and 47. And so the virus is very, very widespread. And the deaths are going up again. The deaths is 1,300 today. They were up to 1,400 last week. And like I say, there's been weather disruptions. So that gets in the way. Even of the tallies, you know, some of these places aren't open because of the hurricane. But Jonathan Swan basically did this interview with Trump, and he was kind of stuck there. I mean, it was just one-on-one, and I think it went at least a half an hour. And you know, there was basically follow-up. If he asked him a question, and he kind of fumbled around and didn't give a clear answer. He was kind of asked it again or a slightly different way. And one of the questions that came up was, you know, how is, why does the U.S. with all of its scientific expertise, you know, the amount of money that's spent, you know, on health care and the standing of the U.S. CDC was the premier epidemiological institution in the world. You know, other countries, China actually names their CDC the same thing. It's called the China CDC with all the, you know, prevention and infectious diseases. So, and he said, well, it's all testing. You know, we've got this, you know, dynamic testing operation here. And we do more testing than anyone in the world. And then he came back and said, well, you know, I'm not just talking about cases. I'm talking about deaths. I mean, our deaths are, there's over 1,000 Americans dying every day, and the numbers have started going back up again. And then Trump was kind of stuck with that one. I mean, he started out by coming back to, oh, I got these charts. You know, we have the lowest deaths. And he said, well, now, how do you come up with it? We've got the lowest deaths. We've got over 1,000 cases a day. We've had more deaths than anybody in the world. And how do you get the U.S. to rank that? He said, well, here, I've got these charts. And he said, okay, let me take a look. And he looked at the chart and he said, oh, this is a case fatality rate. This is showing how many deaths, what percentage of the cases die, and you know, that's heavily dependent upon what's in the denominator and who are you testing. And he didn't say it, but essentially, if they're throwing in antibody tests, you know, those people aren't going to die. They're not even sick. They're just getting tested to see if they had the virus previously.
Sure, I understand.
And if you start throwing those into the denominator, you're going to have a low CFR. The U.S., when I said the numbers are high, it's not just the absolute numbers, but they're among the highest per capita. So if it's, you know, the number of deaths per 100,000 or per 1 million people, you know, even if you adjust for population, the U.S. is still at the top. And Trump's answer was, it is what it is. It's under control. Now, this is logic. And the reason it's under control is because we are doing all that we can do. So that's Trump's description of the U.S. plan. And the reason he says that the virus is under control, when everybody else is looking at these numbers and they're saying that, you know, we've got 50,000 cases a day, and Europe, some of the countries in Europe are reporting zero cases a day, or they're reporting, you know, 100 cases a day. And the difference between 100 cases a day and 48,000 cases in a day is not just because of the testing. And Trump's answer kind of gives some, you know, how his logic works. His logic works that his definition of the virus being under control is that he's working on it, essentially. It's not that it's under control in the sense that it's not going up. It's not under control in the sense that it's really not that high. It's not under control in the sense that it's now going down.
It's being addressed
of control,
in his mind.
It's being addressed. And it's all about Trump. It's what he's doing. You know, he's the one who said only
it's
I
It's always
can
all about Trump. Always has
right.
been. Here's how he got tripped up on the word Yosemite. He thought it had something to do with Semite or Semitic. That's what happened. I'm convinced.
Yeah,
here, listen. I really do. Here.
Every American child to have access to pristine outdoor spaces. When young Americans experience the breathtaking beauty of the Grand Canyon, when their eyes widen in amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky, when they gaze upon Yosemites, towering sequoias, their love of country grows stronger, and they know that every American has truly a duty to preserve this wondrous inheritance. And that's what they're doing, and that's what we're doing. We're preserving an incredible inheritance.
Well, I don't know what Yosemite has to do with Semites, but whatever. All right.
I think that was what happened, though. And he's reading it. I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like...
He probably fired the person for not underlining it in the teleprompter. Which syllable to accentuate? Yosemite. Yeah. They didn't. They should have spelled it phonetically for him.
The issue is that most of the stuff he's reading sounds like he's reading it for the first time.
It may be. He definitely is.
And it sounds like he is. That's an example where he knew he said it wrong, and he repeated it and didn't get a whole lot of much better.
Where all those Semites go every summer to Yosemite. It makes sense when you think about it.
Right. Yeah. And then, other things came up that he repeats all the time. And, he's always saying that we do all this testing, and that's the reason we have more cases. And he's told, time and again that, it's not just that we have more cases. We have a higher percentage of positives, and a high percentage of positives means you're not doing enough testing, not that you're doing too much, that you should be able to get your percent positives to about 5% or lower. If you get it to that level, then you're kind of getting a ballpark number of what's out there. It's still going to be an underestimate, but at least it's getting in a range where you're not in these levels where, 20% of the samples are positive, which means there's a lot of samples out there that you're not picking up. And then he comes back and says, you can do too much testing. And Jonathan Swan says, well, who says that? And Trump says, well, it's in the manual. It's in notebooks. And he said, what manuals or what notebooks? And he didn't really get an answer to that. But, I mean, the interview he did kind of went on and on about the pandemic and the fact that there didn't really seem to be a plan, and there are still issues with testing on delays, and the testing really can't be used for contact tracing if you're not getting results for 8 to 10 to 15 days. That by the time you get the results, it's too late to do the tracing. And that it seemed that, the numbers are still going up. And Trump really didn't have much of an answer. And then he got hit again in the briefing. So he held another briefing today. And, I'm not sure how long this could continue, because he doesn't really say anything new. He kind of spreads it out a little bit by giving misinformation on other subjects, like the explosion in Beirut. He started out with that and said there are condolences to the people of Beirut and for the attack. And then one of the reporters said, well, do you have information that explosion was an attack? I said, oh, yeah, I talked to the generals, and, they don't think it was an accident. They think, it looked like it was some type of attack. And And the latest information I heard is that it probably was an accident. They had all this ammonium nitrate, tons of it in this warehouse that they had confiscated 6 years ago or something. It had been sitting in this warehouse for 6 years. And
well, another angle is that they're claiming it was
a big explosion.
Cache of mining explosives that have been left there for 7 or 8 years. There's two different stories. We don't know in this world. We may never know for sure. They'll get to some kind of a conclusion here in a week or less.
Ammonium nitrate can be used either way. But
I've got it up at the top of the homepage. You can take a look at it. Got a story with a lot of freeze frames in it too, which are very instructive. This had enormous blast waves.
And they had a mushroom cloud there. That's why I say it was two days in advance, because the 6th is the anniversary of Hiroshima, so it's only 2 days shy. But in any event, so the briefings really don't go anywhere. Like I said, he's down to none as far as scientific people at these briefings. He has no support. He tries to, he kind of cherry picks the data and says, oh, this looks good and that looks good. I mean, he's saying the death rate has gone down. That's just old data. You know, the death rate was down a couple of weeks ago, but
right.
As I said a couple of weeks ago, the reason it was down was because it's between these waves that had gone down from the first wave and is still down. I mean, New York reported like 3 deaths today. They've been in single digits most of the week. And so from those earlier outbreaks, those remain under control, at least for the deaths. I mean, New York did have 700 cases, so they still have new cases being reported, but they haven't, translated into a lot of new deaths, although New Jersey is starting to worry. And they had 350 cases today and 11 deaths. But numbers are still kind of creeping up. And what had happened is a couple of weeks ago, these new outbreaks were producing new cases each day, but they weren't producing the deaths yet. And it took, it's been going on for over a week now. It's been going on probably for about a couple of weeks. So he's really not even referring to the data from 2 weeks ago. He's really referring to data that's about a month old now. So he's talking about the low death rate based upon when it dipped down, and ignoring the fact that it's back up to it.
If nothing else,
and it got
Donald
up to 160,000 today.
He's very predictable. We know what he's going to do. The big bookmakers event of the day is, will Debbie Birx be back or not? So we'll see.
Well, there was another story on her today. And that is that privately, he won't say this publicly, but privately, she's saying that, with the level of virus that's out there in much of these areas, she's saying you can't open the schools with that type of virus. The schools will close almost immediately. And she's right again. I mean, that's exactly what the situation is. Part of the reason I read that list, that if you're reporting 500 to 1,000 cases a day, then the virus is all over the place, because those numbers are a gross underestimate. That if you're doing 500 to 1,000 cases in a day, you've got literally thousands of new cases every day. And if you're opening up the schools, you're going to get, you're not going to get one or two students that's positive on the first day. You're going to get 10 or 20 that are positive on the first day. And And you're just going to get the ones probably that have a fever, so that if they're infected, but they haven't developed a fever yet, so they're going to get missed. And if they're asymptomatic, they're going to get missed. But in both cases, they can transmit the virus. The getting is highest 1 to 3 days before you develop symptoms. So the fever check is not going to get people coming in the door. And even if they do develop fever 3 or 4 days later, you've already passed the time period where they've spread the virus, because that's when the setting happened before they developed the symptoms. So the point is that these schools, there's no way they can open. And they're doing all kinds of adjustments. I mean, they just made an announcement here in Fox Chapel, actually today, that they were going to set it up so some students would be able to do in class 5 days a week because of the parents' situation, that they have to go back to work and they don't have daycare, and they are, you know, they basically need to have their kids in school. And it sounds like they're going to make some adjustments to do that. And that's not going to go anywhere. I mean, those students that are going to class 5 days a week, they're going to be about, they're either going to get infected, or they're going to in school, or they're going to be infected outside of school and bring it to school. And, and that's not going to work. You know, there's some schools, they've already announced it.
You're going to get your placard and go stand in front of the nearest elementary school and warn the children to stay away? What are you going to do?
No. They already
boots
know.
On the ground, Henry. Boots on the ground.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. From the boots on the ground, were those 30 cases that showed up in one day to fed the one school district. I'm virtually positive that was related to the fever checks. And so the school board already knows that the first day they did the testing, they had 30 positive. And I mentioned that they've already moved back the fall sports schedule. That they were supposed to start playing the end of August, and they've already moved that back, I think, to September 10th. And, you know, my guess is they'll move it again, and they'll try to come up, you know, they might try to come up with some type of very abbreviated season. And some schools have already gone to, they're not going to do any fall sports. They're going to cancel them all for the spring and hope that things
I've
are
read
better.
That. I ran one story about that.
And I'm going to try getting things going in the fall. And that, you know, basically what's going to happen. And that's not even in these most highly impacted school districts. I mean, I heard in Arizona, they've got something about school starting later this month, and they have to have a plan to offer all the students in-house classes or something, and the teachers are saying, you know, there's no way that by the end of this month they'll be ready for, you know, in class teaching, because they've still got, you know, a ton of virus in Arizona, and they still have a lot of deaths, and the hospitals are already full. But that's what's going to happen. There's going to be this pressure either from governors or from parents that, you know, they should have the in-house classes. And they really have pressure from the other parents that are saying, you know, this is crazy that there's way too much virus here, that the masks are, you know, may limit it, but the masks are not going to prevent the spread of the virus among the students, and it's not going to prevent the spread of the virus to the teachers and the maintenance staff, and that they're just going to have, you know, everybody's infected. And I mean, once the teachers are infected and they can't teach, then they can't hold the classes because they don't have enough teachers, because pretty soon they run out of substitutes, and they're kind of stuck with, even if they've got students that aren't sick, they don't have enough teachers to have the classes, and they end up, you know, canceling and pulling them. So that's going to be the next wave, because some of the schools are already starting, and more are going to be starting in the next couple of weeks, and others have been delayed to, you know, towards the end of the month. But these experiments where they say, well, we're going to do it at 50%, or we're doing some type of modification, that's not going to work. The virus is going to spread when you have all these students together. And within a couple of weeks, they'll just have a wave of cases, either with the students or with the staff or with the teachers or all three. And they'll realize that it just isn't going to work. It's just going to hear one school after the other school, and pretty soon they're going to say, this is crazy. We're endangering the lives of the student, the teachers that have higher risk factors, and some of these students are multi-generation families, so that when they go home, their parents or their grandparents are going to be at risk. And it's there's nothing to, you know, indicating that it's going to turn around, that it's just going to build upon itself.
Right.
And that's essentially what's going to happen. But some of the governors are, you know, setting up these deadlines, and they're basically, some are pushing them back a little bit, but they really aren't, they're not even set up. I mean, they should be set up so that, you know, everybody can be tested going in, and they, you know, are offering testing there to keep things under control. And there aren't enough test kits out there, and they can't process them. I think there's seven different governors that are getting together, and they're trying to work out some deals with some of the testing companies to make sure they have enough tests, and the turnaround time is short enough so they can use them, and that they're going to try to get that set up so that they can do some monitoring of the students. I mean, this year they announced that, I talked about these before when Trump had said that they're going to have all these Walmart parking lots set up for testing. Well, they actually announced that in Pittsburgh. There are about seven or eight different locations in the metropolitan area which are going to be using Walmart parking lots, and they're going to do testing, and they're going to collect the samples in the parking lots, and then they had an arrangement with Quest to actually do the testing. But, you know, I don't know what that's going to do to the turnaround time. I mean, there were concerns that the turnaround times were in the neighborhood of, 10, 11 days or so, and then there was an announcement that they've got caught up, and they're down to just 4 days, which is still a little bit too high. But if they're setting up seven or eight parking lots in Pittsburgh, they're probably doing that in a lot of different cities. And so Quest, if they're involved in, you know, a bunch of deals with Walmart somewhere, you know, in other areas, they're just trying to get this wave of samples to be tested, and this wait time's just going to start creeping up again.
But, yeah, it will.
But those are examples why there's no real plan. It's just everybody trying to cobble something together.
What else is new? No plan. No plan. The only plan I've seen is putting drive-in theaters in Walmart parking lots. I wonder if that's been a success. I haven't heard anything about it. It's kind of fun. I like drive-in movies. Okay.
Yeah, well, they have gotten more popular. So I mean, they've opened up old ones.
If there was one around here, I could buy it. I'd buy it and refurbish it, and it'd be fun. Henry, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See what happens.
Okay.
Say hi to Tony and Debbie for me. You talk to them, huh?
They have a lot of time on their hands, so she's free. they're at a whole task force meeting. So.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
All righty.
Take care. Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. All right, Dr. Henry Nyman, and that's our program for you tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, man, Wednesday already. All right, tomorrow night it is. Talk to you then. Take care.